May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight and on my strength as I redeem you. When Elizabeth became pregnant, of course, the story that she told as to how she got pregnant was ridiculous. And nobody believed it, except for Elizabeth. And even her own fiance, Matthew, did it. And his intention, we know, Joseph didn't believe it. And in Matthew, it says that the law required for him to have her stoned to death for being unfaithful, for being immoral. But he was a righteous man, and he cared for her. So he decided to put her away in secret so that she wouldn't have to suffer the consequences of the law. And so as he made that plan, that night he went to sleep, and an angel came to him in the middle of the night and spoke to him and said, "This child is the result of the Holy Spirit." And when he had that encounter with the Lord, he arose in the middle of the night and went to Mary to tell her he believed the story. And they got married. But this is what the angel said to him. In verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1, it says, "She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus," which means God saves. "For it is he who will save his people from their sins." Why did Jesus come? To save his people from their sins. Jesus came to destroy the reign of sin. Because the reign of sin is the cause of all human suffering. Whether it's man's inhumanity to man or mankind's own self-destructive behavior. The reign of sin is the cause of all human suffering. John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, when he saw Jesus coming, when John was baptizing, he records this in John chapter 1, he looked at Jesus and said twice, and declared to his own disciples, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." Now the angel proclaimed to Joseph that Jesus has come to save people from their sins. John the Baptist says, "He, behold God's Lamb, who takes away the sins of the world." Now remember, the Old Testament system was that year by year there were sacrifices made. And the sacrifices were to cover sin, just to cover sin from the last year. It says in Hebrews, "But even though they covered sins for the last year, they were a reminder of us of our sins, because we knew that when the next year came, that had to be covered again by more sacrifices on the Day of Atonement." But Jesus didn't come to cover sins. He came to take away sins. He came to take away the reign of sin in the lives of people. See, again, God's dream was, from the very beginning, is that we might have life and have it more abundantly. His dream for us was that we would experience all that he is and all that he has in union with him. And when mankind fell, the Lord had a plan he'd already thought of, he'd already put in place. For it says in Revelation 13:8 that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. And we have the picture of this slain Jesus, this slain Messiah, all throughout the book of Revelation, that he was this little lamb. So there's a picture there, or in the banner, the conquering lamb. But it's like a full-grown, healthy lamb. The language in Revelation is he was just a small, little lamb. The stunning thing to me is that the Lord defeated the great dragon with a little lamb that was slaughtered. So before the foundation of the world, the plan, God wasn't taken by surprise by what Adam and Eve did. The plan was that the only way for mankind to be restored is through death and resurrection. It was the only solution. There had to be a whole new creation that could withstand the onslaught of the serpent. hanging out in Matthew 11 for a couple of weeks. If you remember the story again, the first of the chapter 11, it says when John the Baptist was in prison, and he heard all the things that Jesus was doing, like healing the sick and all that kind of stuff, he sent word by some of his own disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one that we've been looking for? Or should we look for someone else? That's always a stunning thing to me, because this was his cousin. He had known him all his life. He's the one who proclaimed that he was the Lamb that would take away the sins of the world. And the Messiah came to take away the sins of the world. But John, as we mentioned last week or the week before, I believe that Jesus was deterred and gotten distracted. He wasn't taking away the sins of the world. He was doing stuff like healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, healing the lame, raising the dead. He needed to be about taking away the sins of the world. And so when they came and said that to Jesus, Jesus sent word. He said, go back and tell John, yep, I'm healing the sick. I'm healing the lame, the deaf hear. The lepers are cleansed. The dead are raised. Blessed is he who doesn't stumble over me. Jesus sent word back to let John know that what's happening, what you've heard about, is the demonstration of God's grace. This is what taking away the sins of the world looked like. Because I didn't just come to forgive you. I came to take away the consequences of the sin, the impact of the sin. I didn't just come to forgive you for being bitter. I came to change you so you won't be a bitter person anymore. I didn't just come so that you won't be resentful or you won't be critical. I came to you, your criticism. I came to heal the person so you won't be a critical person, on and on and on. So Jesus was demonstrating the fact that God's concept of taking away the sins of the world is to take away, to cleanse us, but also to heal us of the consequences of sin's reign in our life. And the deal is, this week as we celebrate, as we move towards Christmas, and then we have 12 days. Christmas isn't a day in the early church. It's the first day of a 12-day season. Because it needs at least 12 days, right? To concentrate on the incarnation. And so the deal is, how did Jesus take away the sins of the world? He was demonstrating this to John. He's saying, this is what grace looks like. It's not just the message of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. Jesus' message was a little bit different. It was the kingdom of heaven is here. Believe the good news. Repent. When you encounter grace, it causes repentance. So what did Jesus do? How did he take away the sins of the world? So this is not news to those of you who've heard this lately. God said, in the person of Christ, I will become one of them. And I will clothe myself not with pristine humanity. I will clothe myself with their broken, fallen humanity. I will allow myself to be tempted in every way like unto us. And that I will carry their brokenness. I will carry their bitterness. But Jesus did all that without sinning, which is amazing. He said, I will carry all that, all their brokenness, all their sinning, to the cross. And I won't just become sin. I'll become their sin. I'll become their struggle. I'll enter into their hell. I'll become them. I'll become that person and that person's bitterness. I'll become that person and that person's addiction. I'll become that person and that person's this, that, and the other. He became the sin-diseased person that we were on the cross. And he says, and here's the only answer. It has to be killed. There's no fix. There's no reformation program. It has to be killed and buried. And then a whole new person raised up in me emerged on the third day. That's hidden in Christ, whose life is Christ. And Christ isn't any of those things. And he's your victory over all those things. See, we struggle with stuff, and we talk to God about our struggle all the time. And he has compassion on us. But he's trying to say to us, I became your struggle. I took on your struggle. And I became the struggling self that you were, and I allowed myself as that struggling self in your name and on your behalf as you to be crucified. So that raised up from the grave, you're a totally new creation, and the struggling self may be put away. Now the enemy may try to deceive you and tempt you, but it's just a lie. It's an illusion. It's a deception. That's not who you are anymore. That's why transformation in the Christian life isn't by your heart being changed. You've got a new heart. Your heart's in union with Christ. You have his nature. You become a partaker of divine nature. He became sin, he says. The Father made him and knew no sin to become sin, your sin, on your behalf, that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ. But what has to be renewed is our minds. As we discover the truth about what he did on the cross and who I actually am in him. That who I am is a person through whom Jesus lives. And I'm not that, because that person died in Christ. And when the enemy whispers, we can stand and say, that's not me. That person died. Christ is my life and he's my victory, and you walk it out. But Jesus came to not cover it up. How many times do we cover up sin? Jesus didn't come to cover up. He didn't come to help you cover up. He came to take away. So you could be free. That's the incarnation. That little baby in the crèche is so cute, and we have Christmas lights around, and it's just so sweet, innocent thing. That was God's greatest act of rescue and warfare. That is one dangerous little baby. Because he was God's solution for broken humanity. And he was born from a womb because He entered into every single moment of our fallen humanity and redeemed it all from the inside out. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.